Bibles for a few minutes tonight. I want to minister on something that I believe will help us. I mentioned a few weeks ago in one of my sermons, let your no roar like a lion. And that was just something that God dropped down in my heart because I was talking to one of the brothers in church who was going through a really hard time. He was really struggling with this one thing. It's like he'd get free from it and then it would just come back around. He'd give in to it and he'd be saying, Pastor, pray for me. I just can't get free from this thing. And I said, you know what? Here's the thing. You're going to have to let your no be a resounding no. It's going to have to roar like a lion. I mean, you have to be serious. When that thing comes around and it's tempting you, it can't be a kitty cat no. Amen? It has to roar like a lion. I want to minister tonight this title, The Roar of the Lion. If you have your Bibles, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. I said, I gotta make a sermon out of that. And so I did. Amen. You know, the Bible mentions lion throughout the Bible because of the qualities and the characteristics of the lion. I like lions. I like to watch shows on TV. There's a lot on Netflix now, these documentaries of they're almost like Nat Geo documentaries where they show nothing but animals. They show the wildlife. I don't know if anybody else is like that, but it's more recently I got a nice TV, a big nice TV, and it's HD, and you can see all. I mean, it's awesome, right? And so one of the things that they're always showing is lions, and lions are fascinating. They're known as the king of the beasts, and they're at the top of the food chain. And they're not just close to the top. They're not somewhere in the middle, but they're at the top, and they're there for a reason because they're powerful. You don't ever hear about any other animals hunting lions, but it's always lions, and they're hunting baby elephants. They hunt rhinoceroses. They hunt wildebeest. They hunt zebra. They hunt gazelle. You see it on these shows, and the reason for this is because of the power and the strength and the agility of a 400 to 500-pound lion. And it can easily take down a much larger animal and tear it apart. Let me give you a couple other interesting facts about lions. A lion can run for short distances at 50 miles per hour and leap as far as 36 feet. And here's the one I like because it goes right along with what I'm preaching tonight. A lion's roar can be heard from as far as 5 miles away. That's loud. That's loud. Lions have been symbolized for centuries because of their boldness, and even the Bible says that we're to be as bold as a lion. They're also symbolized for their majestic appearance, and listen to this, as well as their intimidation. I remember back in 2006, I was able to go over. I was there when Pastor Paul and Emily were there, and I took my family over, and Sarah was 6 years old at the time, and we were fortunate enough to be able to go on a safari, and we went to this place called Kichwatembo. And you have to fly there on a small plane. You land on a dirt strip pretty much, and you're out in this remote area of the Masai Mara Reserve or National Park. And so we get there, and we go out on this safari, and we have a guide, and we're in one of these tour jeeps where it comes up on the sides. They tell you don't put your arms out. They do that for a reason, right? And it's got one of the tops where you can kind of look up out the top if you have to. And so we're going along, and we're seeing all this wildlife. And at some point in the day, we come upon this area where the guide sees two female lionesses, and they're just kind of lounging in the tall grass. And so he pulls in, and he starts to talk about the lions. He's telling us, we're thinking, man, this is awesome. We get to see some lions. And so we're snapping pictures from the inside, and without realizing it, somebody that we didn't know that was actually in there with us, they were also tourists, they climbed up, they're Chinese, they climbed up out of the top to get a better picture, and they climbed up onto the top before the guide could say anything, and they're up there with their camera taking pictures, and all of a sudden, as soon as they got up there, you see the grass moving from five different directions, and these lions that you couldn't see all of a sudden came out. And he's yelling, get back down into the truck. Get back down into the truck. Now, I want to use that if I could. You know, I got, you can say, well, you know, I wonder what those lions were thinking. The only thing I can think is they were thinking Chinese food. Taste of China. Now don't get me wrong, because if it was a Mexican that jumped up there, I would have been like, you know, Taco Bell or Super Taco. But think about this as we read this. These aren't zoo lions. These are lions that are in the wild. They're ready to devour. And so we read here in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, this description of the lion. It says in 1 Peter 5 and verse 8, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." Now, here's what's interesting to me, because as we read this, it's given a description of this roaring lion, but it's given to our adversary, the devil. And I find that interesting because, you know, I think of a lion and I think of the power, and I think that ought to be something that's attributed to God or a Christian, and it is, but here it's in the form of Satan, our adversary. So the first thing that I want to look at tonight, if you're taking notes, consider with me the fact that we have an adversary. I think that's extremely important in our Christian walk, to know that there is a real devil, that there is an enemy. That word adversary means enemy, and it isn't just a sin problem. But the strategy of hell against your life isn't just to cause you to sin, but it's to ultimately destroy you. The Bible says the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So think about this. From Genesis all the way to Revelation, there's a common enemy against the work of God, and especially against those that call themselves Christians. He's not a man in a red suit with the horns and a long tail and a pitchfork. Bible says many times he comes as an angel of light. He's very deceptive. Different times his character is revealed as a ruthless and vicious dictator. In Mark chapter 5, we see a result of the demonic power over a man. In Mark chapter 5, the Bible says that he was named Legion. He gives this name Legion because there was a host of 6,000 demons. This man was a wreck. This man's life was destroyed because of this diabolical plan against his life. And I'm here to tell you tonight that Peter, he gives a warning here, and he's saying, be extremely careful and cautious, because your enemy is like a roaring lion that wants to destroy you. You have an enemy. I think we ought to consider that when we willingly give ourselves to sin, when we willingly give in to whatever that temptation is, whatever those thoughts are, whatever those actions are, we have to know that it's not just sin, but there's a devil that wants to eat your lunch, as my dad used to say all the time. And he's deceptive. The roar of the lion. When we went on this safari, we stayed at this place, Quechua Tembo. It's a tent-type lodging. There's different types of lodging, but one of the choices that you can choose is to stay in a tent. They're not like little pup tents. I mean, they're fairly nice. They're not terrible, but you can hear things that are going on outside. And so there's no fences that surround this place, and you can actually walk out your tent. At different times of the day, you can see giraffe that are walking by. I mean, you're right there in the middle. It's awesome. You can see zebra. You can see different animals out there. But then there's that one thought: if zebras are out there and giraffes are out there, are there lions out there? And they said, yes, of course there are lions, but it's okay. You don't have to worry about it. You're protected. We have security for that. And so, you know, we're asking, what stands between us and the lions? You know, I'm thinking, surely there's going to be some military soldiers with some high-powered rifles. There's going to be some jeeps that are occasionally driving around to protect us. And I said, who's protecting us? And they said, don't worry, we have Maasai that protect us. The Maasai are the indigenous people there in that region. And that night, as I'm walking back to my tent, I look over and I see a Maasai, and he don't weigh but 110. He's got a robe wrapped around him with a big spear, and I'm thinking, that guy is going to protect me if a lion comes into camp. But the Maasai have a reputation in order for them, from what I understand, in order for them to become a man, I don't know if it's still like that, but in order for them to become a man, they have to kill a lion. I'd say they earn the right to be security there. But here's the thing. That night, at a, about 2 o'clock in the morning, I hear this noise. And I hear the roar of a lion. I didn't know the whole 5 mile thing. That thing could have been 3 miles. But to me, it sounded like it was right outside my door. And it roared like 6 times. And I'm like laying in my bed just with my eyes wide open. And I'm thinking, where's the Messiah? Should I even go out? Should I check? That roar was so stinking loud. And here's the thing. It's very intimidating. Very intimidating. And we read about this in 1 Peter 5:8. And it says here that he is as a roaring lion. So I want you to think about this with me, because there's something that I need to bring out, and I think it's very important for us as Christians, knowing who we are and who our God is and what he's done for us. It's important to know that there's a deception behind the roar. 1 Peter says, as a roaring lion. In the ESV version, it says, like a roaring lion. One of the devil's favorite weapons is to intimidate and to strike fear in the hearts of Christians. So we know the roar, it's intimidating. There are people that live in fear. They live in fear. They live in anxiety. The doctor's given them an evil report. Or quite possibly they know that their family has a history of cancer or diabetes or certain things in their life. And the devil, he's masterful. He's a master deceptionist, an illusionist, to cause and to create this illusion of something that's there when it's not really there. That's what he does. And so it says, as a roaring lion. Amen. You might have a loved one. You know, we have people in our family that are lost and away from God. And somewhere they open the door to something, and the devil came in to steal, kill, and destroy. And every day we feel like that person or these people are getting deeper and deeper in sin. I don't know about you. Does anybody here have relatives that are lost? And you think, dear God, is there any hope? You pray for them. And it's like the harder you pray for them, the further they go away from God. But I'm here to tell you that that's the lie of the devil, the deception of Satan, is that they are too far gone. And the Bible says, even with the prodigal son, that they're never, never, never too far gone. Never too far gone. He's a liar. The Bible says he's the father of all lies. And his best weapon is to lie and to intimidate. And the roar of Satan is very intimidating. So I want to unmask the enemy tonight, because this is very important. As a roaring lion. You know, one of the things that the devil likes to do is he likes to mimic and copy God. That's why he likes hypocrite so much. He likes to portray on the world this word hypocrite and associate it with Christians. But he's the biggest hypocrite of all. He is. Think about it tonight. He likes to mimic. He likes to copy. He's a wannabe. Amen. He draws on deception. So the best that Satan can do is walk around as a roaring lion. You might remember the story of a shepherd boy. And he has this encounter with this giant. We all know the story of David and Goliath. And as he gets out there, he sees this giant mocking and challenging the people of God. And here's no doubt this man was intimidating. He was scary. He probably had this booming voice, and he's challenging, send any man over, I'll fight anybody. And they're not doing anything for the simple fact that they're afraid. If there's one of him, how many more others are just like him? They were afraid. And that's exactly what the devil does today. He's like a roaring lion. But this shepherd boy, David, he knew something that they didn't know. He knew the power of God, because it wasn't that long before that he heard the roar of a lion. And there he is. His job was to protect the sheep. And out of nowhere, there's a lion that shows up. And the power of God, he takes that and he kills this lion. And the Bible says that he kills a bear and God delivers him. And so here he is. He's faced with the same devil, Goliath, this giant, and he's mocking, and he's challenging, he's saying, bring him out, and he's saying, I'm ready. I'm ready because I know who my God is. The end of the story is that he killed that giant and he cut his head off with his own sword. Because the devil can only mimic the power of God. And it may be able to roar, and it may be able to intimidate, and it may be able to strike fear into the people of God. But can I tell you something? God's a big God. He's a powerful God. And I don't know what that giant is in your life. I don't know what that roar is that you're hearing. But I'm here to tell you today that God, the same God of David, the same God of Abraham, and every other man of faith in the Bible is your God today. Amen. And your no can roar like a lion. Amen. There's another story that we're very familiar with, we grow up with in Sunday school, and that's the story of Daniel. And in Daniel's day, Daniel was an upright man. He was an honest man. He was a faithful man. He was elevated to a place of position because of who he was. He was a man of integrity. And anytime you're elevated, anytime you begin to do well, how many know you become a target? Amen. You get saved in your family. Man, you've been delivered from drinking and partying and drugging, and all of a sudden, you put on a tie, you say you're going to church, and you become a target. You would think they'd be happy for you. Oh, now you got that religion. Huh? You're going to go down, you're going to tell us about Jesus, this and that. You become a target. And if you make a stand, even today, you become a target. Daniel became a target. And so there was this strategy against him, and the king puts out this decree, and he says, anybody that is found praying within these 30 days, they're going to be thrown to a den of lions. And, of course, I love Daniel because Daniel, just like David, knows who his God is, and he wasn't going to back down, just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and said, look, if you're going to throw us in the fire, you're going to throw us in the fire, amen, because I'm going to serve God. And Daniel said, I'm going to pray to God. I'm not changing anything I do. As a matter of fact, I'm going to leave these windows wide open, and if they see me praying, so be it. Whatever happens, happens, amen. And God delivered Daniel, but the king, they arrest him. They throw him into this lion's den. And think about this. This is powerful. Amen. They throw him down in there, and these were lions that were starving. These were lions that were hungry. These were lions that were ready to get down on the buffet. Amen. And they wait, and the next morning they come in there to see what happened. They're expecting to see nothing but limbs and bones in that place. But all they see is Daniel. Amen. He's propped up like a recliner on the back of that lion. And those lions, God shut the mouth of the lions. Amen. That's the God that we serve. You know, let me tell you something. We don't have to live in secret. Daniel could have said, you know what? I'll pray in secret. I don't want them to know what I'm doing. I don't want to be arrested. Here's the sad thing is so many Christians today live a secret Christian life. Their coworkers don't know. People don't know. They don't make a stand. They don't stand up against homosexuality and abortion. And whenever there's any kind of sin or joke or nonsense in the world, they just kind of go along with it. I want to be a person like Daniel that makes a stand and says, I'm going to live for God. I'm going to stand for God. I'm going to live for righteousness, unashamed, knowing that God has my back, amen, that God will shut the mouth of a lion, amen. Because when God is on your side, he'll shut the devil up. How many would like for God to shut the devil up? How many you can just feel that devil talking in your ear? Amen? Devil's a liar. That devil's a liar. Shut the devil up. Shut up. Amen. I'm going to finish with this. Amen. Of course, the text that we read, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, talks about the devil. Amen. But once we know who we are, who God is, and I'm going to talk about that in a second, but that roar becomes a meow. Amen. Eventually, when you realize and you've called the devil's bluff and you know who he is and the condemnation that he tries to bring against you and you line it up with the word of God, you realize that you can give it your best shot, devil. You can give it your best shot. but it's nothing more than a meow. Revelation chapter 5, and I want to finish with this verse. Let me tell you about the real lion and the real roar. There's no counterfeit to this roar. This is the genuine roar, the genuine lion of Judah. Revelation chapter 5 and verse 5, it says, "But one of the elders said to me, 'Do not weep.'" Man, you could put anything there. Do not fear. Do not worry. Do not weep. Behold, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals. Here it's talking about Jesus Christ. He's the lion of Judah. And here's what's really interesting. I find this balance between Jesus being the lamb. The Bible says in the book of John, "Behold the Lamb of God who comes to take away the sin of the world." We know him as the lamb. He's the sacrifice. He's what was given for us. The innocent blood of a lamb on the cross so that we could be saved, so that we could be redeemed. What he did at the cross, the Lamb of God. But then we see he's crucified on the cross. 3 days later, he's resurrected, but he's resurrected in victory, and he's resurrected as a lion of Judah. So we see this picture of this lamb given as a sacrifice, but our victory, amen, he was victorious, the Bible says, at the cross over death, hell, and the grave, being risen from the grave. He's alive today. The Lion of Judah is alive, and our victory, your victory, your victory over any addiction, your victory over any fear, your victory over suicidal thoughts, your victory over poverty, your victory over the evil report that the doctor gave you. Your victory came because of what he did at the cross and the victory in the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. He's our Lion of Judah. Hallelujah. That's our victory. That's our victory. That's why when I say no to whatever that proclivity is, whatever that thing is that just continually seems to, it's just that one thing. Sometimes it's two or three things. Everybody's got something, amen. For some of y'all, it's just gossip, and you still ain't got free from it. And you're still talking about so-and-so over there that's got a proclivity to drugs and alcohol. Well, you ain't no better than they are, amen. You can say no too. Amen. That was just the Holy Ghost. Amen. Some just throwing that in there. And there's some people, man, they struggle with alcohol. They struggle with tobacco. They struggle with perversion. They struggle with money. Amen. It could be money. It could be a success. I mean, there's so many different things that get a hold of people. And the reason we preach what we preach, and we preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, is because we want people to get free. Have victory over that thing. That thing doesn't have to have dominion. We sang a song tonight about being delivered. The chains broken, completely set free. Sometimes, amen, I was telling our small group, sometimes it's just a continual believing. It's like you start to get traction. Sometimes it's like that when you have to say no. Sometimes your no feels like it's the weakest no you've ever given. The devil comes and it's right there, man. It's you know what it is. It's right there. It's like, man, here I'm struggling again. You say no, and it's like there's nothing behind it. But as you repeat that and you get one victory after the next and you keep declaring the cross of Jesus Christ and what he did, the Bible says he spoiled powers and principalities and made a show of them openly. That was the victory of the cross. He was defeated. Whatever that struggle or that sin is, it was defeated 2,000 years ago. It's already done. It's done. All I got to do is declare it. And that no, when you say no to that thing and you realize, praise God, I didn't do it. And you realize it's been 24 hours and you say no again, all of a sudden you see momentum and faith and God developing and doing something in you. The best thing I can think of, and I wish I could have found it, I looked online, but there was, if I can remember right, there was some picture, and I don't know if I got this right, but I'm just going to kind of paint a picture of this this lion cub, and it's surrounded by wolves, and he's facing these lion cubs, and he growls, and the wolves all of a sudden get down low. But he doesn't realize that behind him is his dad, this big roaring lion who's coming along, and the wolves are terrified. Does that make any sense? That cub is me. That cub is you. That's us. That little cub, he let out a little roar like, rah, you know. And the wolves were like shaking in fear, like, man, I feel like something special. Well, the roar of the lion is the Lion of Judah. When you say no, let me tell you something. The devil doesn't respect your no, but your no becomes God's no because of what he did at the cross. And he hears the roar of the lion. And he has to respect that. Whatever that thing is that's in your life, the Lion of Judah. You can say no to sin. You can say no to addiction. You can say no to that evil report, to sickness. Amen. And whatever it is, if we believe God, let me tell you something. God has your back. There's a song that you've probably heard by the Newsboys. Every time it comes on the radio, I love to sing it. You know the movie, God's Not Dead, but the chorus goes like this. My God is not dead. He's surely alive. He's living on the inside, roaring like a lion. That's our victory. The devil's defeated. Let me tell you something. You can make it. You can be free. And someday you'll be able to say, you know what, it's been, man, I've been sober 15 years. Not because of AA, not because of a 12-step program, and those might have their place, but because Jesus and what he did at the cross for me, and I was able to say no. And I love what Pastor Paul said one time. If you don't have, you won't be able to say no to something if you don't have something better to say yes to. In other words, your yes has to be yes to God. You have to have a passion for God. You have to pursue God. You have to dig into the word. You have to get down on your knees. When you're looking for an answer, amen, and you can't find it in 10 minutes, I'm telling you what, you have to be so desperate for God that an hour turns into 10 minutes. You understand what I'm saying? You've been praying for an hour, it feels like it's only been 10 minutes because you're trying to tap in to something that God has. There's a passion. Your yes has to be yes. And when that happens, let me tell you something, your no becomes a very resounding roar of a lion. Let's pursue God. Let's not live constantly. You ever feel like you're just constantly living on the defense? Man, let's live on the offense, man. Let's get the sword of the Spirit. Let's get down to business, amen. Let's take this world for Jesus. Yeah, I got problems, amen, but I want to help somebody that has problems. Praise God. Roar like a lion, amen. Roar like a lion. Let's have every head bowed and every eye closed in this place tonight in reverence to God. Somebody tonight is going to get free. I really believe that. When I mentioned this a few weeks ago, I just kind of threw it in and what I was saying there, and I said, you know, your no ought to roar like a lion. And really what caused me to preach this tonight was somebody came up to me this last weekend, and they said, hey, I just wanted to mention to you, when you mentioned let your no roar like a lion, I began to think about that because every night, and I can't remember if she said it was at 1 o'clock or 3 o'clock in the morning, but she said every night, it's like at the same time I wake up and I can't sleep, and I'm up all night until morning, and I'm completely exhausted. And she thought, you know what? If that happens tonight, when I wake up at 1 o'clock in the morning, I'm going to let my no roar like a lion. And she said, sure enough, at 1 o'clock in the morning, it's like my eyes flipped open. I was wide awake, and I thought, oh, my gosh. And then she began to pray, and she said, nope, I'm not going to allow this to happen. The devil has no power, no dominion over me. I'm going to sleep like a baby. And she said it was almost immediately that she fell back asleep and slept all morning and never woke up until early in the morning. And when she woke up, she had a good night's sleep. She said she felt so good. Let me tell you, it works. It's not a formula. It's just trusting God, saying, God, I know you have my back. I know you can help me with this. And I'm determined to let my no be no, my yes be yes. God wants to help you tonight. God's for you. God's for you. And we can say, you know, God understands the struggle, but he does. He really does, but he loves you so much that he doesn't want to leave you like that. God wants to help you get free tonight. Whatever it is, if it's fear, if it's depression, if it's anxiety, if it's perversion, if it's lust, if it's drugs, if it's gossip, amen. I don't know what it is, but God wants to help you tonight. We're going to open up these altars here in a few minutes, but with every head bowed and every eye closed all over this place, you say, you know, I've come in here. I know I'm lost. There's an emptiness on the inside of me. I have sin in my life. I have things that I know they're not right with God, but tonight I want to be saved. I may not understand what it is to be saved, but I want that. I want to be changed. I want what God has for me. I want him to fill me with his love. Save me from my sins. If that's you, you know exactly who I'm talking to because the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. If that's you, I want you to quickly put your hand up and put it right back down. Make a decision tonight to live for God. How many all over this place, you say, that's me. Put your hand up, slip it right back down. How many honest hearts? God bless you. How many more? You say, you know, I've slipped up. I'm away from God. This proclivity, this thing that you talk about that just keeps coming back around, I want to be saved from it. I want to be delivered. God's going to help you tonight. Let's all stand to our feet tonight. These altars are open. Why don't we take a few minutes, find a place in these altars. Let's make a decision for God, a strong decision. Let's draw a line in the sand and say, devil, you're not crossing this. I'm not going back. I'm going to live for God. Me.